Welcome to this week's episode of Guilds of the North, where Sharkstool rules and Steve is the friendliest whack player around. I'm your host, Paul Filio, here with my co-host, Antoine Bergeron.
Hello.
And B. Steve.
Hello again, Paul.
Hello. If I happen to sound like I'm dying, it's because I'm incredibly sick. So I apologize in advance. Well, I may actually be dying too. I haven't really checked. That would be fitting. I lose to Steve at War Machine and then keel over the next day. That kind of makes sense. I'm sure that's a sign of the apocalypse somewhere, Steve playing War Machine.
Pretty sure.
Yeah.
Well, wrong game.
Yeah, we're talking about the wrong game, sorry.
Well, no, if you're dying for sure, if you get the same voice that you did impersonate in the news earlier this week.
I impersonated a voice earlier this week in the news?
Yeah, the French accent.
The Pepe Le Pew. Goodness. Oh my goodness. Did that actually make it into the final news?
Yes, it did, I think.
Wow. Hopefully I didn't offend every French listener we have.
I can't wait to hear that.
I completely forgot that I did that. Oops. Anyway, welcome to Guilds of the North. We have some very interesting releases this week from Steamforged. We're recording this on Wednesday the 16th. This will be released on Friday the 18th. And at that time, there should be the last two models from the Blacksmith Guild publicly released. So we're going to be talking about the Blacksmith Guild and all its glory. And we're also going to talk about Lucky, who is a, I guess, limited release model.
Yeah, well, he's going to be, I think Steve Forge said they're going to give him to people attending demos at Gen Con. And also, I know for sure he's part of the Escalation kind of league that's coming out in September by Steam Forge. So basically, it's going to be a player's pack, and it's going to be a league with points, and you can get cards for the league, and each participant in the 8 players league will get a lucky model. That's
very cool.
From my understanding. Maybe Antoine can correct me if I'm saying stupid stuff.
Yeah, you're about right.
Okay.
The Escalation League pack include enough lucky model for everybody, and you have rules for it's a slow grow to get people starting and learning the game as they go. And it ties well with the kickoff box. I think that's the main reason why this player is a double faction and Mason and Brewers.
I didn't catch that.
As an add-on model for people who started with kickoff.
Yeah, exactly. It's two guilds that are in the kickoff box.
Do we know if he's metal or is it going to be the pre-assembled plastic?
I don't remember. I have that info somewhere. I think it's plastic. The miniature seems colored when I saw them. But that's from memory. I'm not sure.
He looked like the same color as the farmer we saw earlier.
Oh, the brown?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's fine. I mean, the farmers were gorgeous models when I saw them in person at Adepticon. So I've got no problem with them going to plastic. I'm curious to see what the plastic feels like, but in terms of detail level, it seems to be quite good. All right, well, since we're already talking about Lucky, why don't we continue the discussion?
Yeah.
Go into his stats a little bit.
I won't sing you the Daft Punk song as well, so you're not going to have to edit that out. I can say, do you feel Lucky Punk, though?
Yeah. I'm just sorry. My brain is trying to imagine you singing
Daft Punk.
Get Lucky, yeah. Yeah, that's
so.
Yeah. Anyway, so Lucky.
He has a melee zone of 1, and since he's playing for the Brewers, he has a Brewers playbook. So he has. Oh no, my bad.
No,
he has a deck of 5 and 5 columns. Okay.
He will not be rapping as easy as a Brewer.
No, he won't.
But let's talk about his stats before we talk about his playbook.
Yeah.
So he's 5'8", so he's not super fast, but he's not incredibly slow either. For a smaller model, he's not
in
really
the
quite
average, I think.
Yeah, it's average.
Yeah. I guess he's about like Sakana or whatever.
Yeah, you're too used to fish stats.
This is true. 3'6", so it's respectable. 4 defense, 1 armor, and he's 2/3. for influence. Looking at his playbook, doesn't look particularly special. He's got a tackle on two, which is always nice.
And it's a momentous tackle, which is nice as well.
Mm-hmm. And he's got a knockdown on three. Momentous, is that momentous? Well. That's odd. Sorry, I'm looking at the PDF file I have, and it's
momentous because of the color switch from Masons to Brewer.
Oh, I see.
They did a gradient in the playbook.
Okay. You know, there's times in life where aesthetics interfere with function.
No, it's that's not too bad. It's noticeable because like the text is in white and the color, it's colored behind, right, as opposed to black on white.
I get that, but every other card in the game is done one way.
Well, because he's dual guild, that's why they did the
two-color. I don't care. The other 600 models, whatever it is, are not. So,
please. Steve, you own Alchemist, do you?
No, I don't. No,
have they done the same thing for their goalkeeper?
What's the compound, right?
Compound.
Yeah.
I'm going to check the card right now.
You don't remember? Okay, yeah.
They did the same thing for compound. See?
Okay, so it's not the first time.
It sucks there, too. Okay.
No, that's why you have graphic designer and they can do some fancy coloring if they want to.
Yeah, that's why most graphic designers are unemployed. Sorry, Steve. actually, I think you are the only employed graphic designer I know. just throw that out there. Okay. But aesthetics aside, it's a decent playbook. One, he's got momentous 2 damage, knockdown, then momentous 3 damage, followed by a non-momentous 4, 5 columns. It's pretty respectable.
That's pretty good damage-wise.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Momentous 3 on the 4th column, I mean, with a bit of setup, he can get that quite easily.
Yep.
So,
I think it's respectable.
He can wrap up.
And looking at his character play, it's kind of unique.
Yeah.
So, why don't you tell us about it, Antoine?
So, he only has one character play. That's called Raise the Stakes. It costs 0, has a range of self, and once per turn. What it does is, this model may make a 4 inches dodge. However, after that dodge is resolved, the overlaying player can choose one of his model and do the same.
Now, has anything like this ever been done before that you know of?
Not to my knowledge.
A zero cost character play?
Zero cost,
yes.
Yeah, in the farmers, I think there's a bunch of them too.
And Amur has some zero cost character play as well.
Okay. But nothing like this where you do something and then your opponent does something, right?
And no, that I have not seen. I don't remember seeing.
That's a first.
And this, you know, the ability is called Raise the Stakes, but it really should be called Double Edged Sword, I think.
Both works. I think it depends if you're optimistic or pessimistic.
Yeah. I suppose if you're going to use that 4-inch dodge to do something that's going to close the game.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, do that last goal. Because even if you try like to get a kill, get into the melee zone of a player, since you dodge first and he dodge after, he's just going to dodge out again and you won't be able to get that player.
Yeah, I don't. It's not useful to chase someone down, because, like you said, the opponent will just move that model away. I'm sure we'll see some interesting use in it, but it's a unique ability. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Going over his character traits, what do we got? We have sleight of hand. So once per turn at the start of this model's activation, choose a friendly guild model within 4 inches of this model. The friendly guild model may remove one condition. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's saving you 2 momentum.
Yep, exactly.
If
it's within 4 inches.
Yeah.
I think normally it's 8 inches, is it not?
Yeah, but this one is for free.
Yeah, no, I'm not. So I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just making the comparison. I'm trying to remind myself what the rules are, because, you know, my one game of Guild Ball a month I get in, and since my Guild Ball partner is now addicted to War Machine, I don't know if that's going to improve.
I can still play Angel Ball. Don't worry, Edda.
All right. His, so that's a pretty good ability. And then his next ability, Stack the Deck. What's that? Once per turn, at the start of this model's activation, if the opposing team has initiative, this model gains 1 influence. Now, we had a discussion about this before we started recording. What exactly does that mean?
Well, I'm pretty sure, like, because it, since it's gain and not allocate, if you start the in the maintenance phase, you put 3 influence on him because he's 2/3. When he activate, and if you didn't have the initiative, he can go up to 4 influence.
So that seems quite good.
At 4 influence lie. With a momentous 3 on the fourth column, you can start dishing out damage. So that's like with one assist or on somebody knocked down, I think he can kind of get.
Yeah, and that knockdown's easy to fish for, right? So
yeah. So you can almost get 12 damage when you decide to bash somebody. So that's not too bad.
That's brewer type damage, so I guess it makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think the only thing we didn't cover is that he's got 14 boxes.
Which is that? So. Which is a normal 4/4/1 model.
Yeah. All right. And that wraps up Lucky. Do we have anything we'd like to add?
No. Well, I can see him more in the Masons than in Brewers.
Yeah, I think Brewers have better choices for this type of player.
But Mason can add a bit of punch and...
Well, he changes up their playstyle a little bit, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. And now on to the main event. The Blacksmith's Guild. Now, this is something I've been waiting for a while because I was thinking about picking these guys up as my first kind of beater team. Because I don't really like the brewer aesthetic. And I thought about doing a beater union team for a while, but I don't like a lot of their models, like the sculpts. So this faction really intrigues me. And I know Steve is also intrigued.
Because they're the Metal Guild.
Do you realize how much work I'm going to have to do on that to make sure it doesn't deafen anyone listening to the show?
But it was one of my nicest metal, though. That's, you have to admit.
Fair enough. All right, so Blacksmith's Guild. Now, Steamforged went kind of a different direction with this guild in terms of how you build your team.
Yes.
And I think we should probably explain that because it affects a lot of things.
It's quite different from the other teams. So when you pick your team, you choose one of your model, model to be the captain for this game. And that model will gain 0/2 influence, and it will have the captain model type for the rest of the game.
Yeah, and when you say master model, it's because certain models on the team have a trait called master.
They have two types of models. They have master and apprentice. And that's the other thing about the guild, apprenticeships. So when picking a blacksmith team, only master and apprentice model are picked. Exactly half the team model must have the master model type, and the other half must have the apprentice model type.
Yeah, you can see it as pairs of models.
Yeah.
You pick pairs.
So no union. No union for this.
No union and no mascot.
Oh, that's true. I didn't pick up on that.
Yeah, they don't have mascot.
That's interesting.
It's the first guild without the mascot.
Or how do you play animal ball with them? I mean,
and you no animal as well. Because the hunter, they have a bear
in
on
the
their
first
team.
Six.
Yeah, for the first six. But we saw another model during the Q&A at the British Championship. Kind of a sleek, almost assassin type of model.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to have a blacksmithing apprentice ferret or something, right? Like, so I think animals are probably not going to work in this faction. All right. And they've, of course, been releasing do we forget something?
Well,
oh, no, we covered it both, yeah.
No, now we'll have... We have two models that we don't know, and the four others from the starter box we know of. They've been
That's what I was about to get to, but I thought maybe I'd skipped over something for the basic list construction, but I didn't. I'm just sick and forgetting what we've talked about. So, yeah. So up to this point, we had four models that had already been released, so we'd seen the stats. So let's start with the two more interesting models, the ones that we haven't seen yet, ferrite and iron.
Yeah.
So, starting with ferrite, 1-inch melee zone. Okay. I just want to say I love the artwork for the blacksmiths.
Yeah, me too.
They're really awesome.
The Steamforged always has a certain style to their card artwork. But I think it's really come into its own now. I really, really like the way they look. So, yeah, ferrite, female player. Move 5/7, so she's a quick one. But not too quick. Actually, 5/7 is a lot slower than I was thinking, sorry. But that's also because she's pretty heavily armored. So, tack 5, a 4/8 kick, so yeah. She's a good kicker. 3+ defense, so she's fairly easy to hit. But considering she has 2 armor, that's not bad. And she's a 3/3 influence. So stat line, aside from the kick, stat line's pretty average, I would say. She has decent tack at 5.
It's not average kick, Paul. 4/8 is a great kick.
No, I said apart from the kick, the rest of the stat line is average. I know 4/8's great.
Okay.
I'm not an idiot. That's like fisherman kick.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how I know it's too good. Looking at the playbook, we've got a short playbook, only 4 columns. And every column has a momentous play.
Yeah.
So you've got, first column, you've got a 1 damage and a momentous character play. You've got, second column, you've got a momentous tackle, which is always nice, or a non-momentous double dodge.
I love the double dodge when you counterattack. That's awesome.
It's well positioned for counterattacks.
Yeah.
Beyond the second exactly. column with 5 get out of the way. That's perfect.
Column 3, you have only 1 choice of momentous push dodge. Column 4, you have 3 damage or knockdown momentous.
And 3 damage for a striker is
quite good.
Yeah, it's pretty much a first. Usually striker, they have maximum of 2 or 1 damage max.
But she's not the average. She's such a weird model in terms of
and she can, how I yeah, think she's going to she can play. Be a captain. Think of... is Scalpel considered a striker?
Who? Scalpel?
Scalpel.
I think she's...
She's probably a midfielder or something like that.
I think she's midfielder.
The second butcher captain goes to a 4. And she's a striker too.
Yeah she's a midfielder for Scalpel. Mm.
But Philip goes to 4, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I believe so.
She's also a striker captain and not just a regular striker.
Yeah.
So it's not unheard of.
She was also slightly broken at launch, so.
Yeah. But our playbook didn't change. The rest of our rules did.
Yeah. But I love the character's got a kind of an interesting feel to it. And, you know, it comes out in the character plays. So, character play, she has, for a 1 cost, she has a 2-inch dodge.
With acrobatic.
Yeah, with acrobatic, which is nice. And then she has a disarm, which she triggers on column 1. So, enemy target enemy model suffers 2 tack, minus 2 tack.
And it's not or, once per turn.
Exactly. And then she has weak point, which, same as my Sakana has. Target enemy model suffers -1 armor.
Yeah.
So it's really cool that on that first column, she has a choice of 1 of 2 things that she can do, neither of which are once per turn.
Yeah, she's quite versatile on that side.
Yeah, which I guess makes sense since she can also be a captain, right? She's a master. Character traits. Get over here, Iron. So every time I read that, I want to see salt. I keep wanting to put salt in. So once per this model's activation, if the name friendly model is within 10 inches of this model, the name friendly model can make a dodge up to its base move towards this model.
Yeah.
So Iron's a slowpoke, so that's only 4 inches, but still it's still not bad at all. 4 inch dodge
for free. So
yeah, exactly. She also has hobble, so when damaged by this model, enemy models suffer -2/-2 move for the remainder of the turn. That I think is excellent.
Yeah. And especially combined like with the minus one armor or minus two tack, you can really weaken players.
Yeah. It's a shame she only...
She's poking you.
Can you imagine if she had a 2-inch melee? How good that would be.
That's why she only has 1-inch melee. I think they thought about it.
Well, I guess they're learning, right? All right, so her legendary play, Tongue in Cheek, 6-inch pulse. And here again, we see a 6-inch pulse, no more 8-inch pulses. This model gains +2/+2 move. And if this model has the captain model type, so if she's your team captain, other friendly guild models within the pulse gain +2/+2 as well.
And hobble.
And they hobble. Also gain the hobble ability. Yeah. Yeah. That is awesome.
Yeah, that the way they word that ability, that the only the model gains something, and if it's the captain, the rest of the team gains something. They did that for all the masters. So that's something we'll see on the other masters too.
All the masters have a legendary play.
Which makes sense, right? They can be team captains.
Yep.
Well, Theron is a team captain and he doesn't have a legendary play.
Well, yeah, but we all know Theron sucks. Though he sucks less now.
Sucks less, but he's still... Oh, well, he sucks less.
Exactly. And 17 boxes. So she's pretty beefy. She's not, you know, giant model beefy, but for a 30 mil base model, 17 boxes is pretty healthy.
If for a striker, that's good.
Yeah, and the 3-2 model, so she's kind of hard to take out.
Mm-hmm. All right. So that takes us to Iron, who is her apprentice. Now, you can pair up any master with any apprentice, right?
Yeah. As long as you have...
Right now, you don't have a choice because it's all it's out.
It's going to be 6, but after that, I think you can take any master with any apprentice.
There's nothing preventing it. However, as we've seen on Ferrite, some of her abilities are tied to her specific apprentice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the other guys, the other masters have similar abilities too. So you can go outside of the release pairs, but you might be missing out on some buffs.
Right. Okay. So that takes us to Iron. Iron also has a 1-inch melee zone. He looks to be...
beefy.
A bit of a beater. Yeah. So 4/6 move. So he's not going to be racing across the table. He does have 6 tack, though. He's got a 2/6 kick, which is rather poor. But he does have a kicking ability. We'll get to that later. He's got 2 defense, 2 armor, and his influence is 1/4. So he doesn't bring a lot to the table, but you can put 4 on, which is not bad at all. His playbook is rather odd, I find. He's got 7 columns on a 6 tack model. Antoine, why don't you go over the playbook?
Do we go through every options?
Well, you can skim it. I mean,
okay. So there's a bunch of damage. We find a 1, a 2, a 4 in the 4th column, and a 7 in the 7th column. So you've heard right. He only has a tack of 6, but he gets 7 columns. However, that 7 is a big, juicy number.
And it's momentous.
Yeah, and it's momentous. All his damage are momentous except the 1. He got a bunch of double pushes. So non-momentous 1 in the 1st column, which is really good. As we mentioned previously, for Ferrite, for counterattacks. And he got the same thing, but momentous in the 5th column. And the other stuff that's interesting, he got momentous tackle. So, once again, he's the apprentice of a striker. So, we see where it is. And he got a couple of knockdowns. Both are non-momentous, but still there. So, there's a pure knockdown entry. And a 9 down combined with one of his double push in 6th.
But what I love is the momentous 4 damage on the 4th column on the attack 6 model. That's rough.
Yeah, you're going to bring that up a lot on a charge, rolling 10 dice.
Yep. But you'll need to charge or have really good setup.
Yeah. Mm. But you don't need to charge. I mean, just...
couple crowded out, yeah.
Or a single out. There's some models in the guild that can do single out. So just a bit of a bit of setup or just an assist. I mean, with six stacks, you're going to get that four damage rather easily.
But fair enough, especially for beating on one of the bigger, slower players.
Yeah, on a 3-1 or even on 4-1.
On 4-1, you need more than 8.
No, yeah. On the 3-1, you'll get it.
Yeah.
All right. Character play. Impetus. One cost, range self, once per turn.
It's kind of a super acrobatics.
Yeah, so Maul gains +2/+4 move.
So he can charge 10 if he does that. Yep.
That's pretty crazy.
Well, especially with the character trait he has.
Exactly. So he has Battering Ram. So during his advance, any model whose base is touched by this model's base suffers a 2-inch push directly away from this model.
Charge or just advance. Sprint.
Yeah.
Yeah, just sprint.
You might want to sprint with him because with Battering Ram, he's disengaging anyway.
Yep.
And with his eye move and his 2-6 for kick is not that bad, especially when you go over to his heroic play after that.
He has a 16-inch gold threat.
Yeah.
Yep. And he's got close control, so someone tries to tackle the ball on the way by or whatever.
Well, actually, it's more 20-inch gold threat if you activate Ferrite first because he's going to dodge 4, and then he can activate after the 4-inch he did with Ferrite, and that's 20 inches.
So that's for a big, slow player,
he
can threaten a lot long on the board.
No, exactly. So some very interesting play options with him. Also, as we mentioned, he has close control. He also has tough hide. So he's -1 damage to all playbook results done to him.
Yeah.
Which is good.
But he only has 14 boxes for 2-2 models. I think there's he's going to get out quite, well, not easily, but still with a model with anatomical precision will have a field day against him.
Hey, he's got more boxes than any of my mascots do. also, he's got a heroic play. Try hard. If this model is within 2 inches of the enemy goalpost and in possession of the ball marker, this model may make a shot during its activation without spending momentum points. This shot gains -1 TN. That makes it down to 2s?
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, the strange thing I find is the part about the not spending momentum. It's just because you have to activate the heroic play in a way. So you're still paying spending a momentum point for shot for your shot. You're just paying it to trigger the heroic play instead of triggering the shot. Cause the same. However, it gives you an additional -1 to your target number for the shot.
But you need to be 2 inches of the goalpost.
So why are you still still spending momentum?
To activate the heroic play. Heroic plays cost 1 momentum point.
Right. I'd forgotten about that.
So, but he can do 14 inches. So if he's 16 inches away from the goal, he can do it. If Ferrite activates first. So 4 for Ferrite and then for 10 for a sprint. And shot at -2, so his 2 kick is not that that meaningful.
He's going to surprise a lot of people. the first time people play against him, they're not going to know what happened to them.
You got a bunch of options. That's fun.
Yeah. All right. So that's the 2 new releases for this week.
Yeah. And they're clearly the ball guys.
Yeah.
Compared to the ball other hunters, 4.
Absolutely. And I guess we can talk about the other 4.
Yeah.
We didn't go over these at all in the
no,
first
we didn't.
Episode, did we?
No.
Okay.
But they've been out for a while now, so I don't think we should go over every stats. But
we'll just
maybe
skip.
Describe the pairs.
Yeah. So first up, we have Anvil. He's the master of the pair. Let's see. 4-6 move, 6 tack, 3-6 kick, 2+ defense, 3 armor. 3 armor.
Yeah.
That's a lot of armor.
Yes.
Does anyone else have 3 in the game?
The Armadillo Wrecker.
And one of the robot? No?
Is 2, 3. Locust?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah, and some of the masons can go that high with buffs, right?
Right, but not baseline.
Yeah, not baseline.
For a guy that's not wearing any armor?
He has a giant tower shield. All the masters have shields. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just doesn't show really in the art. Yeah.
That's why he has no breastplate, because they used all the metal to make those shields, right?
Yeah.
So he's a 3 influence, 3-3 influence. I mean, playbook, knockdowns, pushes. Damage. He's a control player, right? He's going to push guys around, get them out of the way, clear paths, and
he's there to set up his apprentice sledge.
Mm-hmm. Looking quickly at his character plays, singled out, so +2 attack against any model. While the iron is hot, or he can trigger it on column 3. Choose either friendly or enemy goalpost. Friendly models with this pulse immediately make a 2-inch dodge towards the. Oh, it's a 6-inch pulse, and basically he pushes friendly models
toward one goalpost. Yeah,
so you can.
That's another way to make iron go faster.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a guild ball play, so if you get lucky on a counter attack, he stacks 6, so maybe you can trigger it. But if you do, like, you just dodge out, and the person doesn't hit you anymore. Because you choose which goalpost when you activate the character.
Yep.
It's quite good.
And then you've got character traits. You have Sentinel. 1-inch aura, which basically gives apprentice models 1-inch +1 armor within 1-inch, which is nice. And he's got tough hide, so -1 damage to playbook results against him.
And that's one of the cases where he doesn't target his own apprentice. He targets all apprentices.
All apprentices, that's right. Yeah. And his legendary play, Tested Metal. 6-inch aura. This model gains +1 attack. And obviously, if he's the captain, then it affects everyone from his guild within the 6-inch aura. They all get +1 attack.
And tough hide.
Oh, and tough hide, yes.
Yeah. So, like you said, he's really a control master.
Yeah.
Yeah, and 19 boxes, he's there to stay.
Yeah, you want to set up models for a beating.
When with tough hide.
And then talking about a beating. Especially, yeah, he's got that knockdown on 1, right? So when his apprentice comes in, who's within 1-inch, because he should be, Sledge is going to lay down some kind of whoop-ass there. So Sledge has a 2-inch melee zone, 5-7 move, 5 tack, 3-6 kick. He's big and slow, so 4... Well, actually, no, 4 defense.
4-1, 4 defense armor is standard.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually thought he was on a 40 mil base, but he's only a 30 mil.
Yeah. The master is.
The art makes him look
bigger.
The art is misleading. So long playbook, right? 5 tack, but a 7 column playbook. Yeah. Bunch of momentous damage. He's got a 7-on-7 again.
Yeah.
He's got a couple different knockdowns. He's got a tackle on 1, non momentous, which is nice. And you can trigger a character play on 2, non momentous.
Which gives him 3 attack, 3 net hit the next attack.
Yeah, so he can trigger pile driver. His next attack gets +3 net hits. Ouch.
Yeah, that's a way to trigger his own 7 more easily.
Yep. That is brutal. Now, I'm rusty on Guild Ball, but could you spend 1 to activate that before charging?
Yes.
Yes.
Means you only do 1 attack.
No, because if we switch on the back of the card with his character trait, he has tutelage with anvil, and if he's within 6, he starts his activation within 6 model of 6 inches of anvil, he will be able to use a character play for free.
Ding ding ding.
Oh man. That is brutal. Brutal, brutal, brutal. Oh, we also skipped his other character play, Long Bomb, which is a cost of 1. When he makes a pass, he gains +0/+4. So it takes his kick up to 310. And the pass cannot be intercepted, which is wicked for setting up a shot.
Yeah, we've seen that on other models.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A couple of engineers have that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then back to his character traits, aside from tutelage, he's got knockback. So he can do a 1-inch push after a successful attack or character play. And then he can make a dodge towards the model he's pushed. So so essentially it's beat back for War Machine. Okay.
Yeah.
And looking at him, he's got 12 boxes. So he's not super sturdy.
No, he's a bit squishy.
Yeah. Well, 4-1, 12 boxes. He's tougher than half of my fish.
Yeah, but usually 4-1 models, they have 14 boxes, I think, in average.
Siren. I'm sure Siren doesn't have 14 boxes.
Well, Siren's he's a gonna, fish.
He's probably going to be near Anvil for all the setup. And he gives him 1 armor anyway, so.
Yeah. All right. That takes us to Furnace, who seems to have a bucket of swords strapped to his back. So much respect.
Burning.
Yeah.
Swords.
Well, is there any other kinds, Steve?
No.
2-inch melee. So he's got a 5-7 move, 6 tack, a 3-8 kick, 3 plus defense, 2 armor, and 3-3 influence. Again, he is a master. So he can be your team captain. That's a respectable stat line. It's not crazy in anything, but it's a pretty well-rounded stat line. What has he got? He's got a 5-column playbook, tackle on 1 non-momentous, a knockdown on 3, some pushes on 2 and 4, double push on 4. I don't know. How do you feel about that playbook, guys? I'm trying to figure out how he fits. I guess he's just more muscling people around.
Yeah, he's a bit more shoving people around rather than doing damage. But if you want to do damage, then you'll have to go for non-momentous damage.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, he doesn't seem to do the job as well as Anvil does for that. So I guess we'll have to keep reading. Maybe there's something else that'll come to light. Character play. So we have a 0-cost character play, 6-inch range, AoE 3, once per turn, called 1 at a time, lads. While within this ongoing effect, models do not gain gang up bonuses or suffer crowded up penalties. That is pretty cool. That is pretty cool.
But it's models, so it's your model.
Both ways, yeah.
It's both, so.
Yeah. Well, otherwise it'd probably be kind of gross.
Yeah.
And he's also got tooled up, which we know from Rage.
And lots of player.
Midook, and the list goes on and on.
Yeah. I just know it from Rage, because Steve killing me with Rage over and over and over again. Yeah. I don't have nightmares about that at all. So that's it for his character plays. Going to his character traits, he's got Fireforged. So, kind of cute and fluffy, but I don't know how useful that is. Once per turn, this model can ignore the first burning condition placed on it.
Well, there's lots of ways to do fire more than poison in Gilball. Like, Aridahat, that's not a good example, because now that he's been hit with the nerf bat, we won't see him as much as we used to. But
his Molotov?
Yeah, Molotov and Stoker at Molotov and a couple of alchemists can give fire as well. So. And Silence in the Mortician can throw fire blasts as well. So. There was a couple of fire.
Yeah, no, I know it's around. But it's situationally useful is what I'm getting at. But it's not horrible. Searing Strike. When damaged by this model's enemy models suffer -1 armor for the remainder of the turn. And the burning condition.
And the burning condition.
So that's nice.
Yeah, so even though if he doesn't do big damage on the spot, he will help to set up for the others, I think.
Yep.
And slow down.
And slow down. So with this, with the burning up from him, and coupled with the -2 movement from Ferrite.
So yeah, you can slow down player a lot.
And then you dodge out with Anvil.
Yeah. And he's got the same Sentinel, aura as Anvil as well, right?
Exactly.
So that +1 armored apprentice is within 1-inch. Okay, legendary play, Tempered Steel, 6-inch aura. This model gains +1 arm. If he's the captain, Everyone within 6-inch gets that, and they get Searing Strike. So everyone makes everyone on fire. That's
yeah, but everyone, that friendly. Everyone at plus one armor, it's kind of brutal because, like, if you couple that with Sentinel, means Sledge will, for one round, Sledge will be at 4-3.
Do other player gets the plus one armor?
Oh, it's only this model?
Yeah.
But it's an aura.
Yeah, so I find the wording strange. The aura part is for the second part of the ruling. If we look
it's
at
only okay.
I if we look it was at Ferrite,
everybody.
I'm sorry, I'm missing what you guys are talking about.
No, I think everybody in the aura gets the plus one armor.
No, yeah. If you look at Ferrite, the wish is written is this model gains +2/+2 move. And if she's a captain, the friendly models within the pools gains +2/+2 and the special rule. So in her case, she do both. But in the case of, I think, Anvil and Furnace, they only give the special rule, not the base rule.
Oh, you're right.
Okay.
I made an assumption there. My bad. Very sorry. So, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So basically, if he's the captain, he gets the plus one armor, but he grants everyone 6 inches Searing Strike.
Yep. But not the armor thing.
Yeah. Okay. And same with Anvil and his tough hide. He gets the plus one tack, but only he gets it. But he does grant everyone tough hide within 6 inches.
Yeah.
All right. And so Furnace has 20 boxes. So that's pretty robust.
Yeah, with a 3/2 armor.
Yeah.
And 3/3 while for a turn.
Yeah, for a turn.
Yeah, exactly. All right, that takes us to Cinder, the last model in the starter set. She is an apprentice, of course. 1-inch melee. 6/8 move, 5 tack, 3/8 kick, 3 defense, 1 armor, 1/4 influence. Okay. Playbook.
Dodges.
She's a dodgy one. Yeah, she's the opposite of everyone else. She has a lot of pushes. She has a lot of dodges. She has a tackle on 3, a momentous damage on 3 for 2 damage, and a 4 damage on column 5. With 5 tack. So it's non-momentous, but still, it's not bad. Yeah, pretty much says everything there. Character plays. She has Kill the Ball. So cost 1, 6-inch range, once per turn. Remove target free ball from the pitch. This model's controlling player resolves a goal kick. That's interesting. Does someone else have that? I've never seen that play before.
The first, no, it's the first one. It's a new ability. It's the first time we see it.
But she has to be within 6 inches of the free ball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and 8 inches of the goal.
We've seen other abilities affect free ball, but it's the first one that do this special ruling.
Yeah, Locust could do a pass with a free ball remotely. But she can try to score if the ball is loose.
That seems interesting.
It's really situational, though. It's going to be hard to set up.
So the ball has to be within 6 inches of her, but 8 inches of the goal on the opposite side. Huh.
No, a goal kick is the kick you do when you get the ball back on the field after a goal.
Yeah, you start the play. Okay.
Oh, okay. So,
yeah, he's talking about scoring. You're so not doing I thought a I misunderstood.
Shot. You're doing a goal kick.
So okay, it's like you're re-racking. Yeah, okay.
So. Okay.
Steve confused me. I was like, oh, okay, maybe I misunderstood that.
I misread. Okay.
It's really to reset up the ball if the opponent is killing it
exactly.
On his side.
I guess if the play is going all askew,
but usually when you kill when you kill the ball, you just give it to like Salt or Fahad or like a fast mascot that can
depends on who you're playing against. For people who are playing against Fish or Martians that can have your guy kick. Sometimes you want to just leave the ball in the open, but behind you.
Yeah.
Yeah, because...
and you want to stop them getting to it, right?
Or Angel. Not Angel, but Siren. To prevent those character play.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And she also has Decoy. Gains +2 defense against the next attack or character play. So nothing new there. Character traits. Kindled with Furnace. If this model starts its activation within 6 inches of the name-friendly model, this model gains Burning Strike for the remainder of the turn. Burning Strike, when damaged by this model, enemy models suffer the burning condition. Didn't see that one coming. she also has Hot Shot.
Once per turn, I love that ability.
Yeah, this is great.
Hunter should have had that.
Okay, so let's see it. Once per turn during its activation, if it is not suffering the knockdown condition, this model may declare an attack against an enemy model within 6 inches and line of sight of this model, as if we're engaged. What? Hold on, let me read this.
It's not. You do an attack at distance.
That's yeah, exactly. Okay. It's a. I was like, am I reading that right? Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Engineers might have had that, but Hunter should have had it.
Who knows? Maybe when they redo the season 4.
Yeah, at the start of season 4, maybe they will switch some abilities and maybe give it, but I love it. She can trigger her dodges from there. She can do... It's if she was engaging, so she even get crowd up bonus.
All
or
right.
Gang up bonus on attacks.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely.
At distance.
Wow.
So there's
I
so
didn't
much
realize that.
Thing available.
Wow.
Like if a model is... if the plus two.
Singled out.
Singled out.
She will
and engaged by the guy who did the singled out. You're at
like
plus three. To do your attack at distance.
You know, with four influence.
But she can only do it once.
Yeah, but.
Yeah, but you can do it to double dodge to get into something.
Or to tackle from far away.
Yep. Or tackle from far away. How does that work? It makes no sense. It's funny, but it makes no sense.
Well, she's shooting the ball at an angle for it to pop in the air and control it back, whatever. A bunch of other guys already have the option to get in track at distance. So, Corsair do it with an harpoon. Why couldn't she do it with a crossbow?
Yeah, I know. All right. And last but not least, she has unpredictable movement.
Because
so if you end in...
she didn't have enough dodge already.
Exactly. So she gets a free dodge, 2-inch dodge, if you end your advance in her melee zone. But she only has a 1-inch melee, so I'll be sure to stay at 2 inches with my fish.
Exactly.
And she got 13 boxes, which puts her pretty much in line with all the other apprentices. Oh.
Overall, most of players with unpredictable movement only have 1 inch, which is a good thing.
Yeah,
only Obelus has two, right?
Obelus and doesn't
my guy
Naja, the snake.
Oh, the mascot. Okay, yeah.
Fish guy, grayscales.
Yeah, grayscale.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Okay.
Had to think for a second. Like my player, the one that's on every list I've ever made for that team, because he's too good not to put on.
The one that's dead. Spoiler alert.
What?
You haven't read the fluff, right?
I don't have the season 3 book.
Well, I'll read it to you, and then you will be able to.
I have to mourn grayscales?
Yeah.
What was? Did he go honorably? Did he die quietly in his sleep of old age?
No.
It's Guild Ball. You're dreaming there.
Well, you know.
So that's the.
I was going to be crude, like maybe he died having sex with Angel or something.
He has a heart attack.
Exactly. What a way to go.
And so back to the blacksmith.
He's got 2-inch reach with his harpoon, you know. Anyway, blacksmiths. So I really like the way they've put this team together.
All the masters so far have 3-3 influence, and the apprentice have only one, so that's a 12 influence team.
And you
Which
don't
bad.
Have a choice. It's always 12 right now.
Well, for now, yeah.
Yeah.
But maybe with the expansion,
it's
6.
It's about average 12, though.
Yeah, 12 is okay.
Yeah.
I think my regular lineup usually has 13 starting, but that's fish who have... We generally have higher influence, so that's good.
Well, usually 12, it's when you take a quote
a big
guy, that's 1-3, like Hearn or what's for a boar for the butchers
boar.
Or
yeah,
gas
my,
for
Kraken and all that fun stuff.
Only
yeah.
has 12.
Exactly.
I like that they are versatile, but they still. So I was afraid that they were just going to be pure BT from the first two we saw, Sledge and Anvil. But with Cinder now and the last, with Cinder that was released a couple of weeks now, I think.
Yeah, 2 weeks, I think, something like
and
that.
And the two new that are releasing this weekend, it makes them more able to play dodge and play the ball.
Oh, they're multi-threat.
Yeah, they can play the ball for sure. I mean, Furnace and Cinder, they both have 3-8 kick.
They make me think of the Masons in the sense that they're a more balanced team, right? They can play the ball. They can play the beat game.
I feel like they're Mason 2.0 a bit, like eye armor, but they have more ball ability all over the team rather than just focus on Harmony and Flynn.
Oh, they're definitely more well-rounded, right?
Yeah.
But every player is well-rounded, not just the whole team, but every player kind of has a bit of everything. It'll be interesting to see them on the field.
Well, we saw a picture of the box on Facebook today, on the day we were recording the show.
On the 16th, yeah.
Yeah, and the models look really good from what... Like, because we didn't see the other two new models. The other, we saw the 3D render so far, and they really look good. And then you want the... Iron looks cool, like beefy and everything.
Oops. I'm dropping the call.
I still hear you. I don't hear Steve.
Well, we've lost Steve mid-sentence, and according to the Facebook message he just sent me from his phone, his internet has died. So, I don't really know where he was going with that sentence, but
me
I guess
either.
You'll have to wait for you'll have to wait till episode 3 to find out. That's called foreshadowing, Antoine.
Mm-hmm.
We're all about foreshadowing here on Guilds of the North. Yeah. Okay, I can't even say that with a straight face. Yeah. So, in summary, play Guild Ball by blacksmiths.
Yep.
Fair enough? Okay.
And bug your pundits for the escalation link at both the farmers and blacksmith launch events.
Yeah, let's get the meta going again and get some people playing this game, because it's too good a game to not play. And summer's over, so people will not have the vacation excuse anymore. So.
Yep, same thing for me. My soccer is off in 2 weeks, so I'll finally be able to return to my pundit duties.
Awesome. Well, I will see you on the pitch then.
Sure. Bye, geeks.
Thanks for listening to Geeks of the North. If you want to contact us, you can email us at geeksofthenorth@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geeksofthenorth, or follow us on Twitter at geeksofthenorth. You can follow me, Paul, at prfilio, Antoine at Eltonio Berg, Steve at b_Steve, and if you really feel the need, I guess you can follow Yom. He's at Yomasta. Breaks and outro music by Ladrave. You can listen to them at ladrave.bandcamp.com. See you next time, geeks.
Thank you for checking out United Geeks Network Family Member. If you enjoyed it and are looking for other online media with a geek culture slant, head over to unitedgeeksnetwork.com, where you will find Geeky Voyage, a geek and pop culture blog that explores a variety of fandoms and many pop culture favorites from film, television, music, and various other topics, with liberal doses of humor, quirky musings, and heavy fangirling thrown in. The United Geeks Network. You can broadcast your geekiness at unitedgeeksnetwork.com.